Good morning, afternoon, good noon. If you are watching on the East Coast, where Jamarl, Thomas, and myself are, you're watching Deprogram. Thanks for joining us. This is Monday at 12 noon, which means it's the Q&A show. It's the Ask Us Anything show. Any comments, questions, insults, compliments, big, fat, rich donations that you have to make, any of that is widely appreciated. Greatly appreciated, not widely appreciated, maybe widely appreciated. Anyway, please go ahead and post your questions. If you're watching live in the 12 noon Eastern hour on YouTube or on Rumble, put them in the live chat. Our producer, Robbie West, that's him right there. He is going to post them and we will answer them. As always, we appreciate your support for the show, and that involves liking, following, and sharing the show. This is something you should do for any kind of product, like any podcast that you enjoy, including ours. And we appreciate your super chats and your Rumble rants. We will prioritize those, but the free comments we will also, of course, get to as quickly as we can. And I'm trying to think what else we have to talk about. Let's see. Are there any ads I should check? Not right now. No. Robbie, oh yeah, I know what we should do. We should remind YouTubers of the new structure, the new hierarchy that Trent, who is the YouTube whisperer here, was able to put together. So let me find that banner and I'll put that up. Okay, so here's the do I have that? Yeah, do I? That's very strange. I thought I could have sworn I had that. Anyway, all right, well. Oh, there it is. Okay, yeah, I do have it. I'm not crazy. So it's 5 months. So you can support the show for $5 a month. You're a regular subscriber, which means you get the alerts and everything when the show goes live. You get to, you know, if for $20 a month, you get a thank you in the ending credits of every show, the outro. And in for $50 a month, you can participate in an exclusive monthly chat with Jamarl and myself, and we will participate. We will really appreciate that. We appreciate everybody. Please donate or support to the best of your ability. And I'm trying to think what else before I start to fight off another sneeze. Anyway, all right. I guess that's about it. While we're waiting for questions to trickle in. JT, there was some breaking news. I'm sure you saw it. The Iranians have decided to break off communications and negotiations with the Americans over Israel's expansion of their war against Lebanon.
Yes.
I'm glad to see that, actually.
Same here, as they should. I mean, for one, it's a grotesque violation of the ceasefire, if you remember. In the beginning of all of this, when the US was effectively begging Pakistan to beg Iran to come to some kind of terms for some kind of ceasefire, if you remember, the US kicked Israel saying, hey, can you murder less people, please? In which case, Israel says, okay, we'll come up with a deal. Now, it was always a fake deal because the deal was like, we're going to make a deal with the Patsy government that is a vassal of the United States and Israel that wouldn't fire a shot in anger at invading Israeli army that is extending its genocide into southern Lebanon. All right. But even then, Iran still negotiates with them, meaning they make a deal that excludes southern Lebanon, allowing Israel to continue attacks on southern Lebanon under this pretense that there is some kind of ceasefire and that there's some kind of actual deal when they were never, basically, Israel never attended to any kind of ceasefire, never attended to the deal, but Iran still negotiated. When it becomes clear that they're like, yeah, we're going to also bomb Beirut and we're also going to just keep going. Well, what does Iran say? Like, this goes back to my argument that Iran is going to be tested all the way through. It's not going to be a situation where an empire just says, okay, the regional power beat us. It's over with. The triumphalists should stop. And maybe I consider myself one, but I think I'm a rational triumphalist. Meaning, I know that the empire is going to test a criminal terrorist empire is going to test Iran all the way through. And this is the test. It's not like the Americans aren't working with the Israelis on this attacks. So, yeah, they're right. They should.
Yeah, yeah. All right, questions are coming in. Let's take the first one that is sort of a practical question. I'm going to bring Robbie in to help answer this because I'm not sure I know the answer. Schizo, is there a way to do the $50 a month on Rumble so you guys get all of it? What's the answer to that?
Short answer is no, because the way that Rumble works is if you become a channel member for $5 a month, then we keep 100% of it. But if you do a rant, which is kind of like Rumble's version of a super chat, then Rumble takes 40%. With YouTube, channel members, YouTube keeps 40% of it, and then the creator gets to 60%. So there's no way really for us to get the full $50, but any support is appreciated because anything is better than nothing.
It would have to be like PayPal.
Yeah. Well, even then PayPal takes a percentage.
But they don't take that much.
Yeah. I thought it was like 3% or something.
PayPal, with PayPal, I know it's like 3%, so you send it over that way. But I was thinking Patreon.
Oh, well, right.
Yeah, Patreon takes a nice, big, healthy chunk, but PayPal, they just take basically like a 3% swipe fee.
Well, I mean, certainly, look, what do you think? I mean, we could totally just, we have a PayPal account. It's dprogramshow@gmail.com. Yeah. If you, you can do, you can become a monthly subscriber and pay $50 a month on that PayPal account. And we can just add you to the list for the YouTube.
Yeah. That'd work.
Okay. So, so let me just put that up. Let me put up that. It's dprogramshow@gmail.com and just become a recurring $50 a month donor. Done. Email us also to let us know that you've done that. Maybe message Robbie during the show. Make sure that you get added to the list.
And yeah, 100%. That's the best way. And honestly, the fastest way that if y'all need to get a hold of me quick, honestly, the best way is on the West Glacier Gaming Telegram channel. I'll drop the link so that way you can see it. I'm always there.
West Glacier Gaming
at gmail.com. And right. I also have a Discord. I'll drop the link on both Rumble and YouTube. So that way, if y'all need me quick, that's honestly the fastest way to get me because I'm never on Discord. I'm just too busy. I don't have time to play with it.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Robbie, very much. Appreciate that. All right. Let's get to some politics. All right. Jack Samuels, thanks for the question. Thoughts on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ocasio-Cortez leading in new polls for the 2028 presidential elections over Gavin Newsom, my favorite governor of California, / and sarcasm, and Josh Shapiro, my favorite Zionist governor of Pennsylvania.
I don't think I have any thoughts about it. I don't think I have any thoughts about it. I mean, like the reality of it is AOC has not necessarily distinguished herself. So it's not like, oh, hey, great, here's a lefty that's running it. It's not that. I mean, this is a Ukraine flag-waving, I remember when AOC first got into politics, and she was like, we're going to primary some folks. And I remember before she even got elected, her tack on Israel was very strident. It's a genocide state, or at the very least, they're an apartheid state. And I distinctly remember when she went on, what is it, Buckley, the show that Buckley used to run. What is the name of it? You would know it.
Crossfire.
It's now a very attractive white woman that's on there. Mm-hmm. And she, AOC, was talking about Israel, and she says something like apartheid state. And the woman came back, she says, hey, you said Israel was an apartheid state. And AOC was like, she couldn't get it out. Like, meaning it doesn't thrill me to have somebody that could be that hobbled on basic things that they supposedly believed. And then the moment that they get into a situation, they all of a sudden lose the ability to be able to communicate and articulate what they're going with. I hope you get my point. Meaning, it doesn't enthuse me. To me, it's just another Democrat. I mean, you could say that maybe the politics shifted slightly, but it's just another Democrat. I haven't seen anything overtly distinctive about AOC. And I don't even know if AOC is even running for office for presidency. So I don't know. I maybe I'm cynical about this, but give me your take.
Well, the last time someone as young as AOC ran for president, it was William Jennings Bryan, following his, nominated by acclamation at the 1896 Democratic National Convention over his Cross of Gold speech. William Jennings Bryan was not a friend of mine, and I did not know him, but I will say AOC is no William Jennings Bryan. My brief against her as a Democratic candidate is it's analogous to my brief against Thomas Massie, which is, well, Thomas Massie can't even get the Republican nomination. Right. I don't think AOC can get the Democratic nomination either. But in both cases, they're both so identified with one side of the party in a very partisan way that I think it would be impossible to win in the general election. I think that polls this far out are meaningless beyond belief because there's been no campaigning, there have been no debates, there have been no ads, there's no organizational structure set up for these campaigns. So I think at this point, AOC might, if she's really ambitious, kind of be running. She might, bust a move for the Senate at some point, or maybe the vice presidency. That I could see, depending on who. I mean, she could balance a Gavin Newsom ticket. That would not be a terrible mix. I don't think Gavin Newsom is a good candidate either, because he's saddled with the reputation of California being a fucking disaster. So I think AOC is in a place where she's at a crossroads. She doesn't really know where to go. It's too late for her to be really viewed as a moderate, a centrist. And yet, even though she voted for Mama Bear, as you liked to point out, Nancy Pelosi. And as you pointed out, she's been willing to, play footsies with the Zionists. That's not maybe going to matter as much, but I don't think the progressive base is as enamored of her as it used to be. And so you might not have I just don't know. I don't think she has it. I don't think she's ready, or maybe ever will be, but I don't think she's going to be ready in 2 years to run for president. I don't think it's there. I think Josh Shapiro is a dead letter. Even though he's the governor of Pennsylvania, the association with Israel is just too toxic at this point.
Agreed. If APAC is complaining and bitching, oh my God, people are this blood libel against us, that people are associating us as, a fifth column. Well, yeah, dude. I mean, you are obviously here as a stalking horse for the state of Israel. Call it what it is. And people pointing that out are dead on for doing so. And now you have groups. And to point out this notion of toxicity, this idea of the way they are, trying to break up the way that the money is spent so it can go into these kind of anonymous organizations, gets across what you're saying. Josh is toxic. Fucking genocide supporter.
There ain't no way.
No.
AOC has a better chance than he does, for sure. No question. I mean, there's no way. It's interesting. I think the Democratic nominee is likely to be someone we're not even talking about right now.
Agreed.
Someone who's like, it could be like an Andy Beshear, or God forbid Gretchen Whitmer or someone like that.
I mean, my hope is that there is enough. God, man, I hate saying this. My hope is that the economy is in such a way that the American public is looking for somebody different as opposed to some rando Republican or rando Democrat. That's my hope.
Well, it's going to be. I mean, like just this morning, before we did our regular show, 9 a.m., there was some economic news that broke about how American savings rates have plummeted to the lowest level in over 65 years. And the, I love the Republicans. They're spinning that as Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, says, that's because Americans are feeling optimistic. They're spending like crazy. No, they're not spending like crazy. They're actually buying fewer things than they usually buy, but they're just paying more for them, and they have to dip into their savings account to pay for them.
And using credit cards to do it, which is the worst thing you could possibly ever do.
Yeah. But some people really don't have a choice or feel that they don't have a choice. So, no, I mean, I think the economy, you know, the pain, the hurt is now official. It's happening. It's reflecting itself in the in those figures. And, you know, when you're going to see the polls are going to react accordingly, that the stock market is going to, you know, is going to start to tank. Iran situation is not coming in for a soft landing anytime soon. Even if Donald Trump got serious, and he's not serious about negotiating, but even if he did get serious, Israel won't let him. I mean, look at how they're sabotaging him in South Lebanon. So it's,
I mean, it's not like, I mean, but the Americans are working with him doing that. I mean, it's not like,
oh, sure.
That's what I mean, tested. It's not like Israel has gone rogue. It's, I mean, in fact, there was some of the reporting that Israel was asking the Trump administration whether it could bomb Beirut. Like, meaning this is not this kind of one-way thing where Israel is forcing the U.S. into something. This is not a dog gone mad. This is a mad dog.
This is what this is this is your buddy who is dating someone awful and leading them astray. Okay. But they're dating them voluntarily. They like it.
Right.
You know, they can break up. They should break up. They haven't broken up. Yeah.
They don't. They don't. They keep dating her. They keep bringing her around.
Yeah, it's bad. All right. Let's get to more questions here. My faves. Comments on the leaked audios from the former Honduran president trying to destabilize leftist countries in America. He was pardoned by Trump and has ties to Israel.
What? That's the Honduras. Is that the one that was deposed Zelaya's? The one that they put in after Zelaya's? Honduras, the one that says, I want to get cocaine in the nose of every gringo. That guy, that Trump party.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it was Clinton that got Zelaya's up. Like, this is bipartisan. If you remember, it was Clinton that apparently wrote that she took him out in his pajamas, or that the military took him out in his pajamas, but it wasn't a coup. And it's like, okay, sure.
Well, Obama overthrew him, right? I mean,
it was during the Obama administration. So it's wild that Trump released, you know, the cocaine president that we installed. It's just weird.
Yeah, the whole thing is weird. Of course, that percent.
Go ahead. I was just saying this was policy of the U.S. I mean, we destabilized those governments. We were knocking over those governments. Like, hell, we bombed Allende in Chile, for God's sake. The CIA bombed the presidential palace. I mean, there's an audio of him talking about it as the palace was being bombed. Like, this, put it this way, this was U.S. policy. This wasn't shocking.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
For sure. No question. Guys, if you're just joining us, this is the Q&A edition of Deprogram with Ted Rall and Jamarl Thomas. And we're answering your questions and your comments. And please put in as much as you can, because, you know, we're trying to stay alive here. Rumble rants and super chats, the paid ones, are much, much appreciated. Although you're all appreciated for real. Okay. Osiris. Thanks for the fiver. Love the show, guys. Thank you. Thoughts on having Jeffrey Sachs, Yanis Varoufakis, and Ahmed Caballo, Africa Stream, on as guests? I would love any and all of them.
Yeah, we'll love them. All three of those. Particularly Jeffrey Sachs. Jeffrey Sachs is super interesting.
If anyone knows him.
Yeah, he's super interesting.
All right. Well, maybe we should reach out. That's kind of our job. All right. Two Toes, Firing Line. It's Herbert Hoover's great-grand-granddaughter that hosts that now. I didn't even know that still existed.
I didn't know that. Well, I remember the Firing Line was still on, but I didn't know that it was Herbert Hoover's
daughter. That's so arcane. You know what I miss is the McLaughlin group. with that mean,
I remember that too.
That mean fucking host McLaughlin, and he would it would be like, Jamarl Thomas, what's going to happen next year? And then you'd be like, wrong.
I remember him. Yeah, wrong! I remember him. I remember him. He was mean and grizzly. Yeah, yeah. I remember him. He was great though.
Fantastic show though. Eric Spate, thanks for the $5. Ted, boomers get a bad name for being highly propagandized. How did you manage to separate yourself from the rest of your generation? That's very simple. I'm not a baby boomer. Well, I am demographically. I was born in 1963. And so, look, I've always considered myself Gen X for the simple reason that the guy who invented it, Doug Copeland, wrote a book in 1990 called Generation X. That's where the name comes from. He got it from the band and, originally Billy Idol's first band. And basically, at that time, anyone born in the 1960s was considered Gen X. That would even include someone like Obama from 1961. But the truth is, those of us who are born between 61 and 64 are kind of cusp kids, and we kind of get to choose our generation. And Obama, let's face it, is more boomer than Gen X, stylistically. Clearly, a guy who only dresses in black most of the time is Gen X. If you saw the music I listened to, clearly more Gen X than someone like Obama. But, so in terms of being heavily propagandized, I don't think that's generational. I know a lot of cool baby boomers who are not propagandized, and the hippies were not propagandized, most of them. And they were, they were boomers. And the early punk rockers were boomers. So Iggy Pop's a boomer, not propagandized, right? So my answer to that is that, basically it's independent thought. And my mother always taught me to not believe everything that I heard just because it came from an authoritative source. And that, like, I don't really care about things like, oh, you have a fancy diploma, or, you're from a rich family, or you know people, or you're invited on TV all the time. I don't give two shits about those things. I'm going to evaluate everybody based on what they have to say and how credible they have been over time. And educational attainment means nothing to me. Accreditation means nothing to me. Like, you have 6 PhDs. I don't give a shit. I don't think that's generational. Okay, here's a question.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Question for you, Jamarl, from Eric Spate. Thanks for the $5. Why have you not had Margaret Kimberly on in a while?
Oh, I love Margaret Kimberly. Just haven't thought of it. That's all. It's when I got back to the show, I've only been back to the show for what, maybe a month? So I'm still kind of in this process of spinning back up and bringing back people who I've had prior. In fact, I was sitting here this morning figuring out, okay, who are you going to get for tomorrow? And doing 7 o'clock, it's difficult in the U.S. 8 o'clock, it's difficult, but a little bit easier. Margaret Kimberly can only do later, which means I have to do the show late. If you've noticed, I've been doing shows in the evenings also to compensate for the thing. I would bring her on. But it has nothing to do with
her. Invite her over on our show too. I mean, in the 90s.
She's awesome. Margaret Kimberly is fantastic.
I love Margaret Kimberly. She's fantastic. If the Democrats win in 2028, do they continue with the Nazis and Israel atrocities, or do they fuck up and stop being out of touch careerists?
No, they stay with the Nazis on both sides, whether it's the Israelis or the Nazis in Ukraine. I don't think they change.
In 10 years, that'll be a different answer. But yeah, 2028 soon. These things move glacially. No one's going to want to have anything to do with Israel in 10 years. No one. They're going to be so isolated. It's going to be ridiculous.
Well, these fools are trying to integrate the military. I don't know if that's going to happen at this point, considering the uproar over.
Impossible.
But,
10 years ago, they could have pulled that off. Not now.
Yeah. But these assholes, who knows?
Oh, no, it's true. I wouldn't put it past them. Only time will tell. Taxpayers want accountability. All that money funneled with all that money funneled? I don't know. And people are demanding answers to the poverty cycle.
Are they?
Yeah, I don't think
are they?
I wish they were.
Yeah.
F you so, right. I like this question. Is Erica Kirk a sociopath or a narcissist? I'm going to vote narcissist.
You're going to go with narcissist. I don't know if she's a sociopath. That's kind of hardcore.
A sociopath is someone who doesn't believe in social norms or rules, just doesn't care about them and just does whatever they want.
A sociopath is a person who, correct me if I'm wrong on this, who has learned from society to be a psychopath, effectively meaning they weren't born a psychopath. Their social cues and the feedback from that society has made them in it. Like, for example, let's say I was born in a shitty neighborhood. Let's say I had a heart of gold when I was a child, but I realized that crime was the way out of this because I see the people around me profit from crime. And so I become this kind of hard ass criminal because I get gains from it in a societal sense at being so. Same thing with CEOs, right? It's like you have somebody who may not start off a particular way, but with all of the social cues that they get to maximize their profit and everything else, ultimately they become somewhat of a sociopath or a psychopath in the way that they behave based on societal feedback mechanisms that tell them that this is the correct way to be. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a psychologist, but I think even psychologists that I've talked to about the difference between a psychopath and a sociopath, they say it's very vague. It's not well defined by like the literature, and there's a lot of argument about it. So, my understanding is that a psychopath has no empathy, right? At all. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily a bad person. Doesn't mean that they go and hurt anyone, but you know, they just don't. Yeah. If they see an animal dying, a cute cat or dog dying on the side of the road, they don't feel anything. They might still help it, but if they want to, they might help it because they feel like it would earn them like points with society. Look, I helped a kitten, but they don't. There's nothing visceral like, oh God, look at that poor cat. Whereas a sociopath is someone who just doesn't care about social rules, which again doesn't necessarily make you a bad person. I mean, you might look at a stop sign and think that stop sign shouldn't be there. There's no cars coming the other way. I'm just going to blow through it. You're just thinking for yourself, just independent thought. But I think she's a narcissist because she's making it all about her. What happened? I mean, look at the opposite of someone like Coretta Scott King, right? Coretta Scott King has dedicated her entire life as a widow. I assume she's had a romantic life post MLK. I certainly hope she has, but we don't know anything about that. She's made everything about. She's dedicated herself to preserving the memory of her martyred husband, and she to the point of self-effacing, like. To an extreme. I mean, you know, I don't know if there's a grift and she's like, you know, making money off the foundation. I'm sure to some extent, sure. But the point is that's the opposite of Erica Kirk, who's like dancing around on the stage with like fireworks going off, you know, while her husband's body is still warm. That's weird. I mean, you know, as someone who's was known for criticizing 9/11 widows in one of my cartoons. Everybody, everyone grieves in their own way. And I would say, yeah, and some people don't grieve right. And she's one of them. She doesn't grieve right. I think she's just a skank, and that like the way she's behaving now has been revealed by her skankitude has been revealed by her husband's death.
You got caught criticizing 9/11 widows in a cartoon.
Yeah. One of my most notorious moments.
Can you imagine being the guy coming after Martin Luther King?
Man. Yeah. I mean, it's hilarious, right? Because like at the time of his death, as you well know, as we all know, I mean, he was really kind of like... at that point. And he had really moved over to the economic side of the argument. He was really, you know, basically a socialist and talking about income inequality. And, you know, he kind of wasn't a big deal. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it was, getting killed was good for his career, his reputation. You know, I mean, if he'd like gone out to, if he'd gone on to live to be 85 and died in his bed in a nursing home, you know, like Jesse Jackson, we just wouldn't be having the same conversation about him. I mean,
made
the martyrdom helped.
Made him a legend. I mean, people forget, man, like when we're thinking of people like Martin Luther King, or we're thinking of people like, I was about to say Hitler, just in the case of these big names, they don't seem human. Like they don't seem like they're people. They seem like myth, like legend. It's just wow. But they were human beings. I mean,
people it's weird. Like it's weird. Like, for example, Hitler's valet wrote a memoir maybe about 20 years ago. And you know, he talks about like he settles a lot of issues. Like, oh, did Hitler have a normal sex life? He's like, well, I was responsible for changing him and Eva's sheets. So I can assure you that they did have a normal sex life. And and it's like, it brings things, you know, it brings it home. It's like, yeah, he was a real flesh and blood human being.
By the way, Spheres, his book, it gave you this similar view. Like where, like when Hitler is, like the insecurity comes through. Like, oh, Paris is this, and we need to have a dome bigger than Paris. And it needs to be this gargantuan structure. And it's like, okay, so he's insecure about A, losing the war, and B, about the beauty of Paris. Like some of that stuff was just very strange, like the way Sphere would talk about it. But it was strange because it put him in human context. It was like, oh, he's a person. It's like, yeah, he's a person. Or Martin Luther King, where people, I remember there's this audio of Martin Luther King effectively bitching about, he said this kid said something to him out the way. And he said he's going home and he's like thinking about it. He's thinking about it because this kid is like, how dare this kid bitch at Martin Luther King or some shit like that. And he sat there and thinking about it, thinking to himself, well, I've been telling this kid that liberation is coming. And it's been years and liberation haven't come. So he has a point of being upset. Like that's a human being processing like random shit that happened to him on a daily basis, which is fascinating. Like it puts him in a human context. It's just very interesting.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love stuff like that. Like the fact that Karl Marx sued his book publisher for ripping him off on book royalties.
I love it. Consummate socialist suing, you know, getting his capitalistic desserts.
Well, I mean, I don't see any hypocrisy there. I just think it's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, but he's stuck within the context of the system, regardless of what he thinks.
And it humanizes this person, right? I mean, you know, you think of in some people, it's not like they're a legend, but you kind of get it. Like Che Guevara, like he was asthmatic. And that's in the Motorcycle Diaries. And you just know that he struggled with that, like living in the jungle as a gorilla. And like, you know, and it makes him feel that he always felt like a more like flesh and blood human being than someone like a Hitler. Even though, you know, we all know, like there's a dude who collects Nazi ephemera who lives in the UK. He's not a Nazi. But he's got crazy shit. He's got like a Nazi tank. He's got, he went to the prison that was being demolished where Hitler was in the 1920s after the Beer Hall Putsch was jailed, where he wrote Mein Kampf. And he bought the cell and has it in this warehouse, right, in England.
What? The cell?
And one point he talked about, like, he was always puts the word out. Like, he's the guy. If you have Hitler shit you want to sell. And he had heard tell of luggage that had the initials AH on it from Germany. And he was like, he took a chance. And he's like, it was locked. It's kind of like, who knows what's in it. And there inside was not only Hitler's tuxedo with his monogram in it, but also some letters from Eva Braun.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy. All right. So from Erica Kirk to Adolf Hitler. Okay. Only time will tell. People want accountability to all that company funneled into Israeli crimes. And okay, we already did that one. What are your thoughts on the proposed U.S. legislation that would further integrate? We already did Israel and the U.S. militaries this morning. Miami Birth. Rob should do his own podcast. Would definitely listen to that. Robbie?
I'm just too busy. I mean, to be completely honest with you, I'm too busy. Like, I'm going to start doing some more stuff for JT this month. Between that, I'm doing, gosh, it's two networks, three live shows. It's a lot. It's a lot going on. So as much as I would like to have a podcast with the three people who would tune in to listen to me, I just don't think I got the time. I do have the gaming channel, though, and a lot of people will tune into that. And a lot of times we'll go into politics and things, especially over here on Rumble. So if that's what you want to do, just subscribe to Putin Bot Gaming and jump on over.
I like it. Robbie, stay on. And you can answer Carlos's question. Are you a sociopath?
To be honest, I don't really know. I mean, I don't really particularly care about social norms. I care about being a decent person. I always try to be friendly, at least as much as I possibly can be. But as far as, I guess it just depends on what is it you mean. Like, no, it's Pride Month now. I think it's an abomination. Does that make me a sociopath? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't care what society says.
And look, a sociopath has impulsive and erratic behavior. I've never observed that in you.
I'm very structured.
Emotional outbursts, I wouldn't say I've seen that. Tendency for recklessness, I have definitely not seen that. Difficulty forming attachments, I have absolutely not seen that.
No. I just don't care about what society thinks.
Right. I think that's just independent thought. But yeah. All right. Okay. Vic S. Adams, what are our thoughts on the protest and hunger strike at Delaney Hall in Newark? That's the ICE gulag that has been the state of violence over the weekend.
Yeah, God bless him.
Yeah, God bless him.
God bless. Yeah, God bless. Resistance.
Yeah, resistance is a good thing. We need more of it. Can you imagine if like a million New Yorkers crossed the river and went over to help out? It would change everything.
Well, that would change anything. In general, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be a million New Yorkers. I mean, it's 300 million people in the country, but a million people will make a difference. I mean, for fuck's sake,
a million. 100,000 would make a big difference. 10,000 would make a big difference.
Yeah. Committed to a particular cause. Yeah.
Okay. RJ Ramrod. I noticed earlier when we were talking immigration, Robbie said a hell of a lot about deporting them all while once again arresting the billionaires who profit off their labor was never once mentioned. Well, let Robbie answer for himself.
It's pretty easy. I support mass deportations of illegal immigrants, and typically I'm opposed to the prison system, but I fully support imprisoning anyone that hires an illegal immigrant. And I would put you in the coldest, most remote area of northern Alaska that I possibly could. I would go Russian style. And you would stay there for the rest of your natural life. That's how strongly I feel about it.
Well, fair enough.
All right. Well, there you have it. Okay. So Ben Ross, what do you make of Cenk Uygur and Hassan Piker being denied entry to the UK and Candace Owens going to Russia?
Yeah, Cenk Uygur. So Cenk Uygur and Hassan Piker, they used to be on TYT. Cenk Uygur still is the person who runs TYT. Piker used to be on it. I don't think he's on it, but he has his own podcast that has gone bananas at this point. Both are extraordinary critics of Israel, as they should be. So it's not like they've said anything wrong, right? They've been very aggressive in going after Israel. UK, mind-blowingly, has pulled a Soviet Union move and decided that they are not allowed into the country and has effectively said they don't necessarily like the criticism of genocidal terrorist state, Israel. And that is the rationale for why they're keeping them out of the country. I find that shit to be outrageous, just fucking outrageous. Simultaneously, Candace Owens.
Were they going for just vacation, or were they going to do an event there, an appearance?
It was an event that they were supposed to go to, and they weren't allowed to go speak at the event. Mm-hmm. Candace Owens, comparatively, is a fuck it, I'm going to Moscow. And she has been in Moscow. She went to speak at an event. Moscow allowed her to speak at that event. And she's been putting pictures out on the internet on how beautiful Moscow is, something that I've heard from everybody that has ever gone to Moscow. Mm-hmm. So both of these things will happen simultaneously. The UK, overtly pathetic. It's pathetic that you're that weak and feeble-minded, where you can't necessarily deal with the issue of criticism, something, by the way, that is supposed to be a hallmark of liberal democracies, quote unquote. But apparently there's this gaping hole, this wound, this festering, disgusting wound of Israel that they are effectively putting above any notion of liberal democracy. It's fucking outrageous. They should be ashamed of themselves. It's pathetic. And by the way, this notion of the UK has already fallen into disrepute. This the sun never sets on the British Empire. It is set and it is buried. Fucking ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. It's like, oh, we can't take any criticism of Israel. You are not the state of Israel, right? Like, it's one thing if you're saying, okay, Israel doesn't allow criticism of Israel. Okay, well, it's an apartheid state that is murdering a huge number of people. Okay, I kind of get it. The UK is no excuse. No excuse.
Agreed. Okay, let's keep moving on here. Okay. Hey, guys. Do you think, from Trent, do you think the FBI killed MLK?
Oh, man, don't ask me that. I don't know.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of people that believe that to be true. I don't know.
Yes, 100%.
We got a yes from Robbie. What about
they were definitely spying on him. Like,
they were definitely spying.
Sabotaging his marriage and stuff.
Well, in fairness, he was sabotaging his own marriage pretty well without the FBI's help. And then, you know, them recording him having his orgies and all of this stuff. And then they told him the honorable thing for you to do is to kill yourself, you know, in the tapes that got released. So, I mean, when he didn't do that, it's not too... It's not a very far stretch to just go and take the guy out, especially considering that, in my opinion, Israel took out a sitting president just a couple of years earlier. So
a lot of people believe that too. By the way, did they ever release those orgies?
No. No, they got the tapes and they got the letters that they released. But I mean, no.
I guess what I'm asking, did they release the orgy tapes of Martin Luther King?
No, because not yet. And I doubt that they ever will. But we know that they've got them.
I would be interested in hearing those. That would be just fucking weird.
Yeah.
Porn. Okay.
From a Baptist minister who denied the virgin birth, denies the Trinity. That dude's roasting in hell right now. MLK, he's an apostate bastard.
Who are you talking about? Martin Luther King.
100%. You're talking about someone who wouldn't go after, MLK right here. This guy right here. Will go.
Come on, Robbie.
100%.
Come on.
Really?
100%. Oh, God, yes. That guy, listen, he was a fake minister wearing a shark skin suit who got himself into the original grift. That, I mean, if you're going to go with a civil rights leader who I can respect, it's Malcolm X. That dude was the real deal. Martin Luther King was a showman.
No, that's what you don't get. Both of these guys were working. Meaning you needed both. In any revolution, in any movement, you need both. You need A, the person who scares the shit out of the system. And you need the person who's a peace stick saying, hey, you see that guy? That guy's terrified. What about me?
Listen, I get what you're saying, and I agree. But one's a true believer, the other one's a grifter. They both had a role to play.
They both were true believers because they both were on the firing line. He fucking got shot.
Yeah, well, they both did. Well, I don't understand those by the Nation of Islam guys.
You're saying that he's roasting hell and he was a grifter and he wasn't a true believer. He fucking got shot.
Of course he did.
They murdered him.
Of course he did.
I would agree with you if he went to bed and died at 90 in his bed But that's not what happened.
I'm not saying he wasn't a threat. What I'm saying is that his business model was based off of celebrity and profit, not necessarily off of being a true believer. That's all I'm saying.
Look, he wanted pussy. It doesn't mean that he wasn't necessarily committed.
Do you just want pussy, or do you also want guys too? Because there are men and women in those orgies.
Okay, it doesn't matter to me. I'm pointing out that you can be a pussy hound and an ass hound if regards to men, and still have true beliefs in regards to some other movement or something that you're involved in. They're not separate of these things.
Maybe, but I mean, if you're going to say, you know, you have to judge a man by the content of his character, and if your character sucks, then who are you to really make that? You know, especially if you're going to wrap yourself in the cloth of being a clergyman while you're doing this stuff. I mean, the hypocrisy is outstanding. That's what I'm saying.
He may be a flawed human being. I don't need him to be a perfect vessel.
Oh, for sure. But what I'm saying is that he portrayed himself to be one to maintain his grift.
He never said he was a perfect vessel. Apparently, in the gospel, we're all sinners.
Of course. But now, do you remember how earlier how you're talking about how the nation has its mythologies?
Yes.
Like, no, there's mythology around Martin Luther King. Like, oh, he's the second coming of Jesus. He's Black Jesus, if you would. And then you have Abraham Lincoln, who is the second George Washington who freed the slaves. And the reality is, he didn't free anyone. That was President Johnson that did that, who freed the slaves. It's just, and then George Washington, he could never tell a lie, cut down the cherry tree. It's those kind of mythologies. And if you challenge that mythology, it breaks people's brains.
You're not breaking my brain. I'm trying to put
I'm not talking about you personally. I'm talking about just people in general. Like, I can guarantee you, there's people clutching their pearls right now saying, who's this white guy? You know, criticizing Martin Luther King for being a hypocrite. He was a hypocrite.
Look, I think the criticism misses the mark. That's all. Meaning, even if everything you say is true, it doesn't touch the reality of events. Meaning, even if Martin Luther King was a pussy hound, even if Martin Luther King was having orgies, even if he was having orgies every night,
you shouldn't be calling yourself a preacher while you're doing it.
This is kind of like the argument that we were having earlier. Do you need a person to be a perfect vessel if they're going to be a politician? No, I don't. I need somebody who's effective at accomplishing an objective.
I agree with you. And listen, I agree with you. Nobody's perfect. The criticism that I have is that he's doing this stuff while wearing the cloth of a Baptist minister. He should have stepped away from the pulpit. He should have said, I'm stepping away from this. I'm not going to be a minister. I just simply don't believe what the gospel says anymore. That would have been a more honest take, but he didn't do it. He tried to have his cake and eat it too. That's my criticism.
What the gospel was saying. Who said he didn't believe it?
Read his letters. The letters that he wrote where he denied the virgin birth and all this other stuff. I mean, the dude was not a Christian. You cannot be a Christian and deny that Jesus is God. You cannot be a Christian and say he wasn't born of a virgin. You cannot be a Christian and say he didn't rise again on the third day. Those are the very best. Those are the foundation stones of Christianity, which he rejected in his own handwriting, in his own letters.
What did he say specifically? I'm just curious.
I don't have them in front of me, but I will email them to you after the show. But they're out.
Said, I don't believe in any of those things.
Yeah, he did not. He did not. He rejected those things. So I don't have them. I was not planning on going down this rabbit trail, or I would have the sources ready for you right now, but I'll send them to you after the show.
Isn't there a place for doubt in Christianity? I mean,
apparently,
everyone doubts.
I remember I went to confession when I was young, and I said, you know, I don't really believe in God. And my priest said, oh, I don't either. And I'm like, what? And he goes, it's totally normal. I mean, Jesus Christ's last words were an expression of doubt, right? Like, my father, why have you forsaken me? Yeah. That's beautiful and poetic, right? Isn't it like even Jesus himself doubted that his dad was looking out for him?
No, he didn't. What that was because, remember, God the Father cannot abide sin. Jesus became sin. That's why he called that out. Abadai, that's what he said. And that's Aramaic. And so what he was saying is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Keep on going, though. So Jesus actually went to hell, and he was in hell for 3 days and three nights before he ascended, before he was resurrected. And that's what he was doing. So it wasn't that God rejected Christ. It's that God rejected the sin that he took on himself.
Is that in the Bible? Because I have to admit, I don't remember that being in the Bible.
It is.
That Jesus was in hell.
It's in the book of Acts.
Our preacher, every Easter, he would do the sermon about Jesus going to hell.
Yeah.
And in three days, kicking the door open, snatching the keys of hell and all this other stuff. Yeah.
That's in the book of Acts.
Radically irrelevant. I don't give a shit if Martin Luther King was a pastor. I don't give a shit if he believed in Christianity. I don't give a shit about it.
That's because you're not religious.
From my point of view, it matters that he was proficient at what he was doing, and he was able to preach this gospel of love and peace and everything else, and frankly, better than most Christian preachers were doing. So
I agree, and that's one of the biggest complaints that I have against, especially the evangelical church, is that they don't teach a hell's hot, that Satan is real, that heaven is real, that they, to Ted's point, a lot of these people don't believe the stuff that they're teaching. That's the problem. It's a weak Laodicean, lukewarm Christianity that's a feel good gospel that teaches you that Jesus is this peace-loving hippie, and that God is your ATM. None of that is true. And that's the biggest criticism I have with American Christianity specifically. And hell's going to be so full of preachers, the place is going to split open because of them. Because they don't believe it the way that I do.
It's a capitalist country.
We got a lot of Pharisees, right?
Very much so. Okay. No, do as I say, not as I do.
So yeah, it's one of the things I like about you, Robbie. You believe it. All right, Robbie, while we've got you, just filming really. Robbie is clueless on this topic. He thinks immigrants are taking his jobs. Robbie, you have a story to tell about immigrants taking your jobs, so I'm just going to step out and let you tell it.
Well, it's a couple of things. One, immigration depresses wages. By definition, that's what it does. The more of something that you have, the cheaper that something is. If you have an abundance on labor, like anything else, then wages are going to go down by definition. Second, if you're hiring someone under the table who's here illegally, you don't have to pay the Social Security tax. You don't have to pay the income taxes. You don't pay any of those taxes. You're just paying under the table. Whereas if you hire an American worker, red, white, black, purple, doesn't matter, your cost of hiring an American is going to be higher because you have to pay those taxes, the insurance, the benefits, all the things that a working American worker is going to expect to have. So to say that immigration is a net, it does not hurt the American worker, is a bald-faced lie. You need to go get some smarts and get educated on the topic. Second,
losing jobs to immigrants.
Yeah, me personally, when my son was born, I worked for a year on the Florida Panhandle, the Diamond Dairy, picking peanuts and cotton. I did that for over a year, so that way I would be able to. That's all job I could find after the housing crash and the Horizon oil spill. I lost that job because the rancher, the farmer, hired a bunch of Mexicans to work the same job that I was doing cheaper than what I was able to afford. Wow. So me personally, I lost a job to unskilled migrants who are doing the same job that I was doing. While my son was in diapers, my wife was fighting diabetes. I could not afford the bills. So I don't know who the hell it is that you think that you are saying that American workers don't pay a price because of immigration. We do. I have lost a crappy agricultural job getting paid $3. If I remember, I was like $3 per pound of cotton that I was picking every day in the Florida sun for over a year. Wow. So don't you fucking tell me,
Robbie, quit lording it over us with your privilege.
You can kiss my privileged white ass. How's that for you?
No, I mean, whenever someone tells me like immigrants don't take any jobs, I'm like, I know at least one dude who's lost jobs to immigrants.
I mean, obviously they take jobs, right? I mean,
of course they do. By definition, they do.
Becomes, like, what's that? There's a sweet spot.
The sweet spot is to port them all and hire Americans. That's the sweet spot.
Well, obviously, I think they should hire Americans. Like the whole fight over the H-1B1 visa and stuff like that. And it's like, dude, you guys are doing this just to get indentured slaves or indentured servants into the country that you don't have to pay as much as Americans and you could effectively treat them the way you want to treat them. Yeah, there's an incentive for both political parties to be perfectly okay with some level of immigration that disposes or, let's say, displaces the American worker. Just because they don't want to pay the American worker a particular wage, whether that's in agriculture or whether that's in software. I agree with you, Robin, to a certain degree. I agree.
I mean,
if immigration was not about enriching the ruling class, then we would have closed borders. That's what this is about. This is about maximizing profits by reducing wages for shareholders and the CEOs and the corporations. The United States is not a country. It is a corporation run by oligarchs.
And I don't know the answer to this. I mean, as you and I both, we all know, historically, immigration to this country has always occurred in fits and starts, right? In waves. And then the door opens, they throw it open willy-nilly. All comers show up at Ellis Island. And then, you know, it's like, and then suddenly door slammed, you know, America's full up. Then how do you explain the whole, seriously, I don't know the answer to this. How do you guys explain the periods when they slammed the door? I mean, you know, if the powers that be are only interested in driving down American wages, which I believe they are, because, you know, wages are 2/3 of a company's expenses. So it's like the powers that be and their pet politicians want to cut our wages so that they can make more profits. Why do they ever shut the door?
I'm going to reply. Just filming greatly. He wants to know, why do I blame the immigrant? I'm about to break some brains here. I don't blame the immigrant. I understand where the immigrant's coming from. I blame our government that enables the rape of the American working class. And I blame the two political parties that want the cheap labor and they want the votes. I blame our leadership. I blame our country's governance for this. That's one of the reasons why I said earlier, if you hire an illegal immigrant, you should be sent to the coldest, darkest, dingiest dungeon that I could possibly find for you, and you will live out your mortal days there. Because that is how strongly I feel about this. I don't blame the immigrant. If we had, if every American was employed, if we didn't have a housing crisis, and also if one other thing I want to point out here, automation is replacing a lot of these jobs that these immigrants are going to be coming in to do. So we import 60 million immigrants and they're all unskilled laborers working agriculture. What are they going to do when those jobs no longer exist? What is your game plan? God, we got to take care of the immigrants. No, we don't. We don't have the obligation to be the daycare for the entire fucking planet. We have an obligation to the American people. That's what our government's obligation is to. The American person, the American taxpayer, man, woman, child. That is the obligation. Not to some Guatemalan squatter who comes across the river. That's my point. If we had full employment, and if we actually needed those workers, I would be all for throwing the doors open and say, come on in. We need you. We want you here. That's not the situation that we're in. We have Americans who can't afford rent, much less forget about, you know, getting a house. And then you have emergency rooms. And I know this because I fucking worked in one for 8 years where American workers American citizens are waiting in line because emergency rooms are treated as urgent cares by illegal immigrants, using resources that are scarce. So don't come at me with this crap saying that that this is a victimless crime. It is anything but. It is the rape of the American working class. That is a statement of fact. You can disagree with it. You can say Robbie's being a racist or Robbie's being a xenophobic. But one thing you can't say is Robbie's a liar, because Robbie knows what the hell he's talking about here, because Robbie's fucking lived it. Robbie's seen it. And Robbie's fed up with it. And that's why Robbie wants mass deportations. I want a closed border. I want a government that puts the American people first for once in my fucking life. And I'm sorry about cussing, but I'm pissed.
Well, I don't have anything to add to that.
I'm serious.
Honestly, I don't really disagree with what you're saying. All right.
I try not to cuss, but I'm serious. Now, whenever someone comes up and says, well, Robbie, what about the immigrants? What about my son who is a year old and I was going through, you know, doing everything I possibly could, recycling aluminum cans to get diapers for my son, who's 1 year old, because the only crummy job I could find for coming up to Montana, I lost to a bunch of Mexicans? Seriously? Seriously. How are they more worthy of that wage than I was? Explain it to me. Make the case. Where does my white privilege filter in on that? Make the case. Explain it to me. If you can't, shut the hell up. Next question.
Okay. I think, do we have any more questions? Because we are at the end of our hour, but we could still go and, you know, we can go in a few extra minutes if we want to.
Mexicans work in the hot sun picking potatoes. You want a 100 hour to lift potatoes in the hot sun. Listen, snot, I just want to be able to pay my bills. I don't need $100 an hour for that. I don't make that much now doing IT work and producer stuff. I want people to get paid an honest wage for the work that they do. And you're starting to answer the question, what happens to these Mexicans we import or whoever else, Guatemalans, Nigerians, Haitians, you know, pick your migrant, pick your rainbow, when the machines replace all those jobs anyway, then what? Make the case.
That question gets that's a super interesting question.
Well, that's the one that no one can answer. And you have these bleeding hard leftists. Oh, we're a nation of immigrants. No, we're not a nation of immigrants. I'm a Native American. My family fought in the Revolutionary War, schmuck. I am a Native American. And my people never wore a feather. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. I'm going away now.
All right. Well, never accuse Robbie of not telling it, like the telling it.
I know, right?
All right. Okay. I think that's pretty much where we are. Let me just see if there's anything else we need to get to. All right. So, this seems like a good place to end. Q&A show, always good. The next one's going to be Wednesday, 12 noon. Please stay tuned to that. Thanks to so much to you guys who chimed in with support and your questions. Much appreciated. This show, the regular show, will be back tomorrow, Tuesday morning, June 2nd at 9 a.m. Eastern Time until 10 a.m. Eastern Time. We'll be taking your questions then as well. And JT, always good to see you. Robbie, always good to see you. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And we will be back tomorrow. See ya.
Have a good one, guys.